Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Happy Election Day, everyone. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show exit poll for Election Day 2010. Quick reminder before we leave the New York State ballot questions, a lot of commenters on our page are saying that no one at the polls reminded them to turn the ballot over to find the ballot questions. And actually, I had the same experience when I went to vote today. Nobody reminded me. They're supposed to be handing palm cards with last-minute instructions. That didn't happen in my case. So don't forget, if you're in New York City where there are ballot questions and you want to vote on those ballot questions, when you're done with the candidates on one side of the ballot, turn it over, physically turn the page over if you want to vote on the ballot questions. Also, I want to remind you that we have a lot for you this election day on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. And if you haven't yet made up your mind on all the ballot questions or all the candidates that you could vote on, we have a voter's guide. It's very thorough, I think, but also with very concise information about the contested races all around New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So if you're still making up your mind on anything, we have the various newspaper endorsements and other concise information that we put together that hopefully will help you make any last-minute decisions in a completely neutral and nonpartisan way on itsafreecountry.org. And while you're there, for the fun of it, we have our Election Day Predictions Contest. The winner gets to appear as a guest here on The Brian Lehrer Show, so take your best shot at predicting how things are going to turn out. And you can also take part in our survey that asks, how do you feel today as you're casting your votes or deciding not to? Is your dominant emotion on this election day anger, disappointment, hopeful, fear, excitement, disinterest, or you can fill in an other? And so far, I'm sorry to say, disappointment is winning the day in this survey, with about a quarter of you as the biggest category saying that you are going to vote feeling disappointed on Election Day 2010. All right, our next call-in is going to be for people who are voting for the first time today. If you're a newly naturalized citizen, or if you just turned 18, or for any other reason that makes this your first Election Day ever, give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And as your calls are coming in, let's talk briefly to Mike Kelly, columnist for The Record in Bergen County and thereabouts in New Jersey. Hey, Mike, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian.
Could control of Congress be determined in the Garden State today?
Oh, my goodness. It's kind of like the Snooki factor, I guess.
I'm not my goodness,
sure.
That's right.
Well, there are
some races for the House that are in play, including some seats that were previously considered safe for Democrats, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Brian. If I was a Republican strategist on the Western Party of the United States, I would be looking very closely at three races here in New Jersey. And if all three of them go to the Republicans, I think I would get out the champagne bottles immediately. The races we're talking about involve incumbents Frank Pallone, John Adler, and Rush Holt. And in particular, the John Adler race down in southern New Jersey, that could very well go to a Republican. Rush Holt, who is largely regarded as a competent and smart congressman, he's from the Princeton area. He's literally a former rocket scientist at Princeton, teaching physics and that sort of thing. Has been a congressman there for a little over a decade, and is being challenged by a Wall Street stockbroker named Scott Suprell. The polls are showing some that Holt has opened up a little bit of a lead there, but who knows what will happen in that race. And then the other race involving Frank Pallone, again, another stalwart Democrat in the Jersey Shore area, Monmouth County. He's being heavily challenged by a Republican, Anna Little, who very much embraced the Tea Party. So if all three of those races go Republican, I think it's going to be a very long night for the Democrats. I don't think all three races will go Republican. I think one of them might, and that's the likely one to go Republican, would be John Adler.
What changed in the Holt and Pallone districts to make these competitive this year? Holt and Pallone have both been in office for quite some time.
Right.
And, you know, even when the Gingrich era was in full bloom, these guys held, I think that's around when Holt came in, was sometime in the 90s, right?
Holt came in the late 90s after the so-called Republican
right.
Revolution.
Okay.
But Pallone came in, was there during the Gingrich era, very much so, yeah.
So what changed this year to make those races competitive?
Well, I think what is changing everywhere, Brian, and in some ways we can't put our finger on it, but I can tell you that in all of those districts, Pallone and Rush Holt and Adler as well, but we're just talking about Pallone and Rush Holt right now, Barack Obama won handily in 2008. Chris Christie won very, very handily in 2009. So we saw a kind of flip-flop in the voters, and I think that reflects a lot of disenchantment stemming from the stagnant economy, high unemployment, that sort of thing, and in general, a kind of anti-incumbent fever that has really gripped politics this year. Again, Holt is generally regarded as a classic Democratic liberal, but in a district, Princeton, New Jersey, that sort of thing, that's not such a bad thing. There are a lot of, you know, liberal voters down there. Frank Pallone is generally seen as a kind of moderate, Democratic moderate, although he's been rated by the Republicans as being very much a liberal Democrat. And I think he's as much a victim of the anti-incumbent fever as anybody. Yeah.
We had Holt and Sipprell back-to-back one day a couple of weeks ago and talked mostly about health care. And Holt is one of those Democrats who is proudly running on Obamacare, if you want to call it that, as an accomplishment.
Exactly, and he's not avoiding the P word, Nancy Pelosi, either. Mm. Holt is very much upfront with his feelings on this. What's interesting, I find, is that in the other race, the Frank Pallone race, it's really gotten to be a contest of negative advertising, which indicates to me that maybe the Democrats are running a little bit scared there. But in both races, Brian, I think the margins of victories for the Democrats may be smaller. I mean, these are districts where Democrats win with 60% of the vote, the Democratic congressional representative.
So it may be a victory, but with a smaller margin. You want to hear from a first-time voter?
Sure.
Mike in Bergenfield. You're on WNYC. Hey, Mike.
Yes, hi. How's it going?
Good. First-time voter?
Yes, first time. I'm actually 31 years old today.
And you never vote? You didn't get caught up in 2008 when there were so many first-time voters?
No. You know, I was really sort of, apathetic towards the whole voting process. Never really thought anything counted.
Wow.
What
and
changed?
Then sort of with the craziness, I have a lot of friends who are Tea Party members. I really feel like now's the time for my voice to be out there. So.
Pro or anti-Tea Party?
Anti-Tea Party.
So who are you voting for?
I voted for Holt.
You're in the Holt district.
Yes.
All right, Mike, thank you very much. And Mike Kelly, we thank you very much for coming
Thanks
on
so much,
with us.
Thanks so much, Brian. Anytime.
Mike Kelly, columnist from The Record. Let's talk to a few more first-time voters today. Dominique in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Congratulations on being a first-time voter today. Why is this your first time?
I turned 18 in February, so I'm going to go vote for the first time.
Yay. And who are you going to vote for or against?
I'm just going to go all Democratic. I just want to hold our seats.
Dominique?
Hello?
Yes, I'm sorry. I lost you there for a second. Tell me what you just said.
I'm going to just vote all Democratic. I want to keep a hold of our seats that we have.
Have you looked at the ballot questions at all?
I was just looking over them with my stepmom before we went out there. I understand it's a term question, and then there's like another one that's like a seven-part question.
You're figuring it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Dominique, thank you. Congratulations. Yusuf in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. First-time voter?
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you so much. And first-time voter?
Yep, exactly.
How come?
Well, I just became citizen last year.
Congratulations.
So that was my first experience taking part in the election. Thank you.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Pakistan.
And did you already cast that ballot today?
I did, yeah.
How did it feel?
Pretty good. I mean, it was my first experience here in USA, so I didn't know. I cannot compare it to any previous experiences, but it was pretty nice. I mean, I went to the polling station. It was in the library with my two daughters, and they helped me circle all these, fill out all the circles. it was pretty nice.
So no to complaint. our emotion survey that we're doing, did it make you feel hopeful or excited, or I have a feeling not angry or disappointed, or what was
not
your...
at all, not at all angry or disappointed. No, pretty much hopeful and happy too. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for your call and congratulations.
And just, I would like to say two things that the two issues that I saw.
Yes.
First one, the fonts were very little small.
Yes.
It was very hard to read. And secondly, the ballot, the ballot that I got, I didn't know all these different parties. I just knew two, Republican and Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could get a copy of ballot or like a specimen of a ballot in advance in the mail or something, that's this is what you're going to get when you go there. So this way, you can have more thorough information about all these candidates. You can go to their website and find out,
right.
How they are.
If the list was publicized more
right.
earlier on in the process, and
exactly.
a job of the media, too. Yusuf, thank you very much. Congratulations
thank
on
you.
Becoming a citizen and voting for the first time. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Okay, our next call-in is going to be for Paladino loyalists. Those of you who are sticking with Carl Paladino, despite everything that seems to have battered his chances, call us up right now, 212-433-WNYC. Just Paladino voters, 212-433-9692, just for a few minutes. With all that has come out about him, with all that his chances of actually winning seem to have gone from possible in the early polls to highly improbable today, what made you stick with Carl Paladino? We got plenty of Paladino calls right around primary day. If you have stayed with Paladino through thick and thin these last couple of months, call up and tell us why. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And joining us next as your calls are coming in is Larry Levy, Executive Director of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University on Long Island. Hey, Larry, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thanks for having me, Brian. How's it going?
It's going well. We have at least one competitive race on Long Island, and I'm wondering if we have more than one. We have, of course, Tim Bishop running as an incumbent on the East End. Tell us how that's looking.
Well, that's a pretty close race. The Republicans early on in the campaign season put that at the top of their list, but then the Republicans had a really divisive three-way primary, and it dropped off the national list. Now, though, it seems to have come roaring back because the Republicans somehow found a way to unify and make a real run at it. And most of the, the smart money on Long Island thinks Bishop's going to hold on, but it's going to be uncomfortably close for him. There are two other competitive races on the island, one that's gotten a lot of attention, one that hasn't. The one that's gotten a lot of attention, which could decide which party controls the state Senate and draws the district lines for the next 10 years, is the race between Brian Foley, who's the incumbent Democrat out in a Brookhaven Islip Town seat, and Lee Zeldin, who is the Republican. And the Siena poll had Zeldin way up a couple of days ago. A lot of people aren't comfortable with those numbers, but that one's going to be certainly competitive and really close.
How about Carolyn McCarthy, Democrat
since
the 90s from Nassau County? I saw an article in one paper that said that those polls were getting uncomfortably close for her, and that wasn't supposed to be in play as
right.
much.
Right, and that was the second other competitive race that I talked about. I was going to talk about
mm-hmm.
the.
Go ahead.
This is one that nobody saw coming, but if you look at a poll that we did, a national suburban poll that showed real apathy in minority districts, black and Latino voters in particular. And Carol McCarthy's Democratic base, a big, big piece of it in that district, is black and Latino. And if you get a 20% or lower turnout among that voting block, she's going to be in a tremendous amount of trouble. So, you not only have the national wins against most Democrats and a low voter turnout among her most loyal voters, and also, the Republicans have a professional candidate. I mean, a guy who's held elective office in the area before. His a distant relative was a congressperson. And this is a recipe for a disaster for Carolyn McCarthy.
You talk about McCarthy's most loyal supporters, Democrats in Nassau County, staying home. What would make them stay home?
Well, black and Latino voters always seem to feel a sense of disenfranchisement every year. They are feeling no love from government. They've been hardest hit by the recession. And it's a pox on everybody's house. After the high of Obama 2 years ago, when you had record turnout in minority communities, you know, there's some people are saying, well, there's not much in this race for us. Who's our candidate? When they look at the statewide ticket, you know, there's Andrew Cuomo, who some black voters still feel a little bad taste in their mouth from when he took on Carl McCall. Cuomo had a chance to pick Byron Brown and as his running mate, the mayor of Buffalo, and a lot of minority leaders I talk to still grumble about that. So the question is, what are they coming out for? I mean, so, I can give them reasons, but this is what they're saying.
Black and Latino turnout could be a key, even for Carolyn McCarthy on Long Island.
That's correct, yeah.
Larry Levy, Executive Director of the National Center for Suburban Studies at Hofstra University on Long Island. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We will break. We will continue with our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll here on the Brian Lehrer Show. Next, as I said, we're going to take phone calls from some of you who are calling in, telling us why you have stuck with Palladino through thick and thin since primary day. And we'll check in with Brian Mann from North Country Public Radio, which could be Palladino country. So stay with us. Then we'll also go to Connecticut and check in with John Dankowski from WNPR in Hartford on the McMahon versus Blumenthal race. And we'll take some Connecticut calls, too, before we finish up with our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, if you want to report your voting experiences, you can text DECIDE to 69866. DECIDE to 69866 as we're collecting voting experiences today. And don't forget our election returns coverage beginning at 8 o'clock tonight. I'll be anchoring with the WNYC news team scattered to the political universe. We will also have an evening-long simultaneous online chat on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. So you can hang out with each other as you follow the results. On-air election returns and the simultaneous online chat all beginning at 8 o'clock tonight on WNYC, FM and AM on the radio, and itsafreecountry.org online. All right, Palladino loyalists. Tom in Greene County, you're voting for Carl Palladino?
Yes, I am voting, Brian. Good to talk to you.
You too. Real quick, we're going to run through these real quick. Tell us why.
Well, I'm just not a fan of Cuomo. Also, I mean, Cuomo just seems like he's taking the next step. He probably wants to be president or something. I think he's just the career politicians, it's time to say no to them. Palladino will be more entertaining. I know I told your screener that, and I'm pretty sure he'll keep us all entertained on a regular basis.
All this stuff about, you know, him threatening the New York Post reporter, I'm going to take you out, and all this other stuff that's come out, you can overlook it?
Well, I mean, why should I overlook it? He had a point. I mean, he was defending his kid, whether, you know, whether he said he was defending his kid or not.
From
the photographer.
From the photographer. Should have popped the guy?
Sure, yeah.
Tom, thank you. Larry in Woodside, Palladino voter?
Well, I voted for him because Cuomo is very duplicitous. In fact, as late as yesterday, he was saying he didn't know whether Hevesy should go to jail or not. And this is the pattern of Cuomo's. He gets the publicity for doing the investigation, but then somehow or another these people are allowed to pay fines when they should all go to jail. And secondly, Cuomo made a lot of hay when he was head of HUD and pressured the banks, and it was his pressure that allowed the banks to pull their slippery maneuvers to make a lot of money and cause the financial downfall.
So against Cuomo, you think Palladino would be a good governor?
Of course not.
but that's your vote, given the choices.
That's the story.
Thank you. Mark, in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yeah, good morning, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. I voted for Palladino as a protest. I voted Democrat with everybody else, and Albany is a disaster. So you need another Jesse Ventura to shake the boat. And he's not going to make the decision. He's going to have people, hopefully, with some brains that'll push the buttons and make it happen.
So it's an ABC vote? Anybody but Cuomo?
Yeah, I mean, Cuomo, he's got a shady background, and he's not whistle clean. And with the last caller that said that, I agree. He's been too close to real estate and other things. So if nothing else, that's another reason why I voted for Palladino. And, yeah, he wears his emotions on his sleeves, but he doesn't sound as bad as he is.
Mark, thank you very much. And with us now, Brian Mann, reporter and Adirondack Bureau Chief for North Country Public Radio, the fabulous collection of frequencies up in the huge Adirondack Park area upstate. Hey, Brian, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me on.
Is the North Country Palladino country at all?
Well, you know, maybe a little bit more than the rest of the state, but polls up here show that Cuomo has a very comfortable lead even here. And so I think that you're going to see a pretty strong showing for Cuomo right across upstate New York, and the North Country is no exception.
Now, listeners, the last call-in that we're going to do is for voters in Connecticut. And let's see if we can get, because we're running out of time, let's see if we can at least get one McMahon voter and one Blumenthal voter from Connecticut. So if you're listening in Connecticut, call us up right away and make your last argument for Richard Blumenthal or for Linda McMahon, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Brian Mann, you had the whole country watching earlier this year as the Adirondacks had a special congressional election, the famous New York 23, and sent a Democrat after that really kind of early appearance by the Tea Party splitting the Republicans. And the Democrat actually won in a traditionally Republican congressional seat. How does that look for today?
Well, it looks like a repeat is possible. The Tea Party candidate was in the race again this year. He did finally drop out, but polls show that he's still drawing about 15% of the votes, and that's obviously draining a lot of support away from the Republican Matt Doheny in this race. So Bill Owens could very well, you know, go back to Washington. The North Country used to be kind of comfortably Republican, you know, right across the region, and the GOP has really been in disarray, and even in this kind of big year nationwide for Republicans and conservatives, some of that disarray is still, you know, hurting some of these candidates up here.
What else are you watching as you report today?
Well, really from, you know, the 19th district where John Hall won in 06, the Democrat, you know, right up through the 20th district, Scott Murphy, another Democrat who took Kirsten Gillibrand's seat after she moved on to the Senate. This is an area, as I was saying, where Democrats have managed to really capitalize on some confusion and some infighting in the Republican ranks, and this is going to be the big test. I mean, a lot of these seats up here are very close. These are some of the ones that are really balanced on the edge of a knife, and it's going to be very interesting to see if the Republicans can squeeze back into power. Polls are showing in all of these districts, the 24th with Democrat Mike Arcuri is another one where it's really down to the wire. And I think that Republicans are anxious that in this part of the country that used to be just so locked in for them, it was safe country, that even in a year like this, they're struggling to make a comeback. So this is a big test for them.
Brian Mann from Adirondack, from a reporter, sorry, an Adirondack Bureau Chief for North Country Public Radio. We'll be talking to you tonight on our election return show, so looking forward to that.
All right, thanks so much.
We'll also be talking to Larry Levy, who we heard from a couple of minutes ago, who's covering the Long Island races. He'll be joining us again tonight. Also joining us tonight, as well as right now, is John Dankosky, news director at WNPR in Hartford and host of the program there called Where We Live. In fact, we'll be doing a co-broadcast as those McMahon versus Blumenthal and gubernatorial results come in during the 8 o'clock hour tonight, just after the polls close in Connecticut. So that'll be a joint broadcast with WNPR in Hartford tonight in the 8 o'clock hour with me and our guest right now, John Dankosky. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
Good. So how's this race looking?
Well, it's tightened up a little bit. Linda McMahon is still trailing Dick Blumenthal by about 9 points. And the close in the last couple of days, well, there's just been a lot of television ads. As you probably heard about, she spent about $50 million of her own money on this campaign. So we've seen an awful lot of Linda McMahon on the television. And we've even had a big old World Wrestling Entertainment rally in Hartford the other day. There's an awful lot going into this. It's been interesting to watch. Let's just put it that way.
For her, is she making her own closing argument, or is she still knocking Blumenthal on these last days?
Well, the most recent ad that we've seen, the negative ad against Dick Blumenthal, is back to his Vietnam statements. Again, you'll remember months and months ago, he had made some misstatements about his service in Vietnam, something that got picked up by a couple of YouTube videos and got played widely. He had to make a big apology for it, and he's been pretty consistently apologizing mm-hmm. for that. It's ebbed and flowed as to whether or not she's hit him with it, and that's really been where that attack has come in the last couple of days from the
All
McMahon
right.
campaign. Back to that.
James in Westport, McMahon voter.
Hello, how are you, Brian?
Good.
Okay, thanks. I certainly am. I'm all for her. I've been watching. We've been getting a piece of mail from her every single day but one, if you can believe that, since she announced. I think she's doing a very, very thorough and very wonderful job, and I think she'd be much better than Blumenthal.
Give us the quick reason.
The job. Pardon me?
Your central reason why you think she'd be better.
Well, I like a few things about it, Brian. I like the idea that she would only do the two terms, as she said, and that she won't take a salary because she is a very wealthy woman, not always has been, but is now, and that she will now, her new ad today, as you probably heard, was that she would not take any benefits, which is something that I can't imagine one senator doing that, any of them, you know, regardless of their wealth or not. But I think she's a very capable woman. She's a very capable businesswoman. Blumenthal is a career, I guess, politician who's never had a job outside. I guess he's 23 years in state government, Brian. So I'm not really enamored to him for one
James.
Reason or another.
Gotcha.
And I didn't like this whole thing about what he said that when he was in Vietnam and all.
Right.
That was
James,
that was
thank you very much. Happy Election Day. Megan Stanford, you want to make a closing argument for Dick Blumenthal?
Sure. Sadly, my vote was really against Linda McMahon. And even though I have a master's from Sarah Lawrence in women's studies or women's history, I don't like voting against a woman, but that business of the World Wrestling Entertainment offends me, and the amount of money that she has spent offends me. So I hope Blumenthal will become an honorable senator.
Meg, thank you very much.
Hey Brian, 60% unfavorables in the latest Quinnipiac poll for Linda McMahon amongst women.
Is it about the wrestling background?
That's been the big thing. I mean, at the end of the day, World Wrestling Entertainment is something that doesn't appeal to an awful lot of women, and that's certainly something that the Democrats have been hitting very hard on. Some people wonder about whether or not they spend too much time talking about wrestling and not enough time talking about mm-hmm. the issues. But indeed, it does show up in this latest poll as unfavorable.
So her appeal as an actual woman to women doesn't seem to trump what wrestling did to portray women under her watch.
So far, that has certainly been the case, although she does do a pretty good job of existing in these two worlds. As we said, there was a big wrestling rally right. in Hartford that she wasn't at. Meanwhile, she was trailing along in some very Tony towns in Fairfield County, getting along very well with some affluent women.
John Dankowski, news director at WNPR in Hartford. I will talk to you tonight as we do some co-anchoring in the 8 o'clock hour when the polls close in the Nutmeg State. Thanks a lot.
Looking forward to it.
And everybody else, hope to talk to you at 8 o'clock tonight. I'll be anchoring our election returns coverage. We'll also have an evening-long simultaneous online chat at itsafreecountry.org. In the meantime, you can go to It's a Free Country for a voter's guide today and a lot of other information. Talk to you tonight. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.